formed the helpmeet for that man. Her name was Eve. God gave him one command, and it was a very simple command. He simply said to the man, of all the trees in the garden, there's one that you can't touch. And, of course, it was that very tree that the serpent used to tempt Eve. And then, of course, Adam, with his eyes wide open, knew what the results would be. But he followed suit with his wife, and they both partook of the forbidden fruit. Come to chapter 3 here in Genesis, and we're going to look at the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin. Unless you think this isn't applicable today, some 6,000 years later, this passage right here is the most applicable scripture in all the world on this subject, because this passage tells us why sickness came in to the human race to begin with. And it went further than that. Genesis chapter 3, look in verse number 14. Genesis 3:14. Now by this time they had already eaten the forbidden fruit, and they had hid themselves from the Lord because their eyes had been opened to the fact that they were naked. They didn't have any shame before sin. You know, the shame came as a result of sin. But verse 14 says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and upon every and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said," notice the curse here, folks, "unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of thee of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." That's the curse of God upon the creation. That's where it all started. When God made man, hear it, folks, he never meant for man to go back to the dust. When God made man, he intended for man to live an unbroken life of fellowship with him, to be immortal, immortal in righteousness. But because sin did enter into the human race, God came along, as he had to do, to keep his righteousness, and he pronounced a curse, not only upon the serpent, which he did, and not only upon Eve and Adam, which he did. Did you catch that? God also cursed the earth itself. So he cursed humans, that's the curse upon Adam and Eve. He cursed animals, that's the curse upon the serpent, and he cursed the ground, the earth. You see how all three of those, men, animals, and nature, were cursed? Everybody see that? A threefold curse. So why does sickness come? First and foremost, as a result of our sin. I'm not talking now about your individual sins for the reason you're sick this morning. I'm talking about the sin nature. I know this because think of something. Don't you have animals that can get sick? Yeah. Haven't you had sick animals you've had to care for? Why'd the animals get sick? Did they eat of the forbidden fruit? How many of you have ever had a tree or some flower that gets sick? Aren't there blights that can take out entire populations of certain trees and things? All right, what happened there? Did the trees, did they partake of the fruit? No. But because of man's sin, sickness came on all the creation. Men, animals, and even the plant life. Folks, hear me. Everything that has life on this planet was affected by that curse. You know what's so wonderful about being saved? If you're saved, the blessing is it's all going to go back to the way God intended it for eternity. No more sickness, no more sin, no more death, no corruption, no pain. So sickness is a result of living in a fallen world. It's a sin-cursed world. I hope you folks have taken notice to what they placed on our Savior's head when he was crucified. And we know it was a crown of thorns, but have you ever thought about the significance of that? Of all the material they could have fashioned to make our Lord that mockery of a crown, they made it out of thorns. And I believe that there was great symbolism in that. Remember, we just read thorns here in Genesis 3. God said to him, "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee." You know what Christ was doing as he wore that crown of thorns? He was saying that he was dying primarily for the salvation of men, but that he was also taking on him the curse that was brought upon the creation, because on his head was a symbol of the curse that God put on this earth, those thorns. So, number one, why are you sick? Why are we sick? Why do animals get sick? Why does the plant life get sick? Why is this a sick world? Because we live in a fallen, cursed world. I won't have you turn there, but remember in the New Testament, Paul said that the whole creation groans. You know what it means to groan? When you're groaning, that means you're uncomfortable, right? You're groaning. Some of you are going to be groaning at the lunch table later. Groaning. You're groaning. That means something's not right. There's an uneasiness there. But God's Word said the whole creation groans. If you could just hear that language, look at what's happening in the atmosphere and with the weather and the disasters. Isn't it like the earth itself is groaning, waiting to be delivered, waiting for the redemption? That's what Paul said about it. So the Bible calls us for sickness. I'm going to give you all the causes first, all right? Then we're going to talk about how to get victory. Causes for sickness. And you're going to have to get with God, folks, and determine which of these applies to your particular situation. Again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, I know why you're sick and I know why you're sick. I'm giving you the Bible reasons, and it's up to you and the Lord. Here's the next reason sickness has come. Some sickness is self-inflicted. Some sickness is self-inflicted. For instance, sometimes chastisement takes the form of physical suffering. Sometimes God gets our attention when we've done wrong by allowing infirmities to come to our flesh. Study Hebrews chapter 12. It'll give you a real good illustration of that. Chastisement in Hebrews 12 takes the form of physical suffering. Then Hebrews 12 said that when God deals with sons and chastises them, he scourges them. Remember that word? Scourges them. What part of you hurts when you're scourged in chastisement? It's your flesh, right?
Amen.
Amen. You know the old lie parents tell, it's going to hurt me a lot more than it hurts you. I never believed that until I had to be on the other end of that. You know what? It's true. It's just a different kind of hurt in a different location. But sometimes sickness is because of our sin. Again, I got to stress there, not all sickness is because of your particular sin, but it may be well for you to start there if you're coming to God and say, Lord, is this sickness because of something I'm doing that displeases you? And if it is, Lord, show me what that is. So I'm not telling you you're sick individually because you've got sin in your life, but you may be. You don't have to come to God for that. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Talking about this issue of sickness being self-inflicted at times. It can be self-inflicted in the way of chastisement. And then it can be self-inflicted if we abuse our bodies, knowing our bodies are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I think we'd all agree here that if we do things, if we put things in our body willfully that we know are harmful to our bodies, then if we are sick as a result of what we're putting into our bodies, we really don't have a right to point the finger at anybody else at that point. I want to get very practical with you here. If you're struggling to take the next breath, you oughtn't to keep smoking your cigarettes. We'll hit a snag there, amen. This particular message is not about smoking or any other evil habit, but it's a illustration. If we're doing things to our body that we know are harmful to the temple, then if these sicknesses come as a result of that action, wouldn't it be in our best interest to cut out that which is damaging the temple?
Amen.
Amen. To know, if you're visiting here, if you're new, you got to use certain words to get an amen out of this crowd. I've had 10 years practice doing it. I think I got it figured out. Folks, you know I love you. I haven't been reading your mail and finding out what kind of food you're eating and all that, but I'm saying 1 Corinthians 6, look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do you know the Lord is very concerned about the condition of the temple in which he resides? What was it that angered our Savior? Wasn't it when he came into the temple of God and saw it being defiled? I realize that was a physical standing temple, but our body is also the temple of the Holy Ghost. We just read it. Are you taking care of the temple? Are you defiling the temple? Are you taking in things into your body, or are you engaging in activities that are harmful to the temple? Then you have to be prepared to accept the consequences of it. That's one reason, sickness, self-inflicted. Here's another reason for sickness can be. Turn to Job chapter 2. I'm sure you folks know that Satan can make you sick. In a limited sense, Satan has power over your body. He did in Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I can't remember who it was. It may be someone from here, but we're talking about the devil. And it's easy for us to forget sometimes because the devil is powerful. He's very powerful. It's easy to forget, though, that he is a created being. He is not eternal. He was made by God. You all understand that. So there's no way he has the same attributes, and there's no way he could ever have the same power as God. He'll never attain to that level. Nobody will. But as far as created beings, the devil is right up there. He's a very powerful spirit being. Look at what he did to Job. Job chapter 2, verse 7. Job 2, 7. The Bible said, "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown." That's a direct indication that Satan has limited power over our bodies if he chooses to. And I realize that Satan's power here was delegated to him by the Lord. I understand that Satan couldn't have done anything to Job that God didn't first allow. But the point still stands, Satan is able to strike you in your body. Everybody see that here? These boils were not spiritual. These boils were not supernatural. These were boils of his flesh. Physical suffering. It was obviously so painful. Verse number 8 says he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal. Can you imagine? I told you, I used to work in the, I saw those wrappings, those dirty wrappings taken off those sores and stuff. It's a terrible thing to have to watch. I couldn't imagine what it must be to have to endure that thing. But the only relief he could get was to burst those things. Anybody? Aren't you glad we're not having the meal back here after the sermon? I'm trying to bring this point home to you, folks. The devil does have limited power to inflict suffering in our bodies. Looking at Bible reasons for sickness. Here's another reason sickness can come. Find 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Sickness can be preventative. In other words, God can allow sickness to come to you to prevent something far worse from happening to you. That may be a little hard to understand at first. But the Apostle Paul, who was a man of great faith and who God used greatly, And by the way, these folks that they're a dime a dozen on television, you can find them anywhere, I guess, that teach that it's not God's will for anybody to ever be sick if they're one of his children, they have a hard time coming up with why Paul was sick here. And I've never heard anybody give a good answer as to why Paul was sick. Was there a lack in Paul's faith? I mean, did he doubt God? What was the problem here, Paul? Why did you have this physical infirmity that you couldn't seem to get victory over? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read to you the first 10 verses, and I'd like if you just follow along with your eyes there. I think it's important that you see it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, Paul there is talking about himself. You all know that. Paul was given this vision of heaven. Let me stop here and I'll give you the context. Do you think it may be easy for a man or a woman to have that kind of experience where God lets you see heaven and taken up to the third heaven? Do you think maybe, if you're not careful, that may make it easy to get a little proud? Never with you folks. You're the picture of humility. But don't you think the devil would come and whisper in the ear of a saint like that and say, "My, isn't it wonderful that you, out of all the other Christians, God thought enough of you to take you up to see heaven?" You think the devil might try to appeal to your pride? Sure he would. I didn't say, would you give in to it? I said, don't you think he'd try to appeal to your pride? I mean, we're proud over a lot less than that, aren't we? We're proud over all kinds of small victories. Imagine being called up to the third heaven. Well, Paul had that experience. But beyond that, Paul had more than that. Paul was able to lay his hands on people and heal them. I mean, if the devil wanted to appeal to Paul's pride, he had a lot to appeal to. Knowing that, here's why Paul had his sickness. Verse number 5, of such a one will I glory, yet not of myself. I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Infirmities, that's pain, that's sickness. Verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth me. Verse 7 is the answer to the question, why was Paul given this sickness? Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. See that? That's physical suffering. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Do you know why Paul had this, whatever this was specifically? I've got my ideas, and probably you do too, but it doesn't matter what it was. Primarily, all we need to be concerned about was it was a thorn. We know that, so something that was painful. And it was in Paul's flesh. Were you there? Body. Why did Paul, perhaps one of the greatest of the apostles, given this heavenly vision, God used him to write most of the New Testament. Why Paul? Paul said, because if I didn't have that thorn in my flesh, I would probably get puffed up with pride. He says it twice in the same verse. Did you catch it? Lest I should be exalted above measure. He says that in the first part of the verse. And then he says it the last part of the verse, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul knew that although I wish this thorn was gone, if God took it from me and I didn't have any pain, any infirmity, I might be tempted to be proud. So look at verse 8. What do you do about it, Paul? For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. What was the answer from God? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul prayed for it once. God said, I'm not going to take it. Paul prayed for it twice. God said, I'm not going to take it from you, Paul. Paul prayed for it three times. God said, I'm not going to take it from you. So you know what Paul did? He said, I guess I'm going to just have to live with it. I've asked God three times. Every time he turns my request down, and God gave an answer. God said, I'm not going to take it, Paul, for the reason that my strength is made perfect in your weakness, and my grace is enough to get you through it. Anybody here going to stand up and say, Paul must not have had enough faith or God would have healed him? Can anybody stand and say, well, Paul must have been out of God's will or God would have healed him, if no Christian's ever supposed to be sick? God, it may sound hard to hear, folks. It may be hard to hear this, but it's true. God wanted Paul to be infirmed. It was God's perfect will for Paul to have a thorn, for the reason of preventing Paul from something far worse than a thorn in the flesh. Wouldn't it be far worse for Paul to have an ego than it would be to have a physical infirmity? You think it's pretty bad to suffer in the flesh. I know it's tough, but it's better than suffering in the spirit and the soul. So sometimes what God does in sickness is it's to prevent something worse from happening. I don't know, some of you dear folks who have had to deal with things, I'm not making a blanket statement, but some of what you may have dealt with could be in part because if you didn't have that, if you didn't have that thorn in the flesh, maybe your walk with God wouldn't be as strong as it is now. What do you find yourself doing when you're in a place of suffering and sickness? Don't you pray? Don't you seek the Lord? And I'm not saying you folks don't do it when you're well. I'm saying in Paul's case, God said, I'm not going to heal you, Paul. I'm going to give you grace to get through it. Now, about this matter here, there was one other time in the Scripture where Paul had a buddy, had an associate, I should say, in his ministry, and the man's name was Trophimus. You don't know much about Trophimus other than he was a companion of Paul. But Paul made a statement about Trophimus. Paul said, I had to leave Trophimus back at the last town because he was sick. Now, why in the world would the Apostle Paul leave a fellow worker sick if Paul had the ability to lay hands on people and they'd be healed? You know what that tells me? It wasn't God's will to heal Trophimus, at least at that time. God may have very well healed Trophimus, but not at that time. Do you remember Paul telling Timothy something about medicine? Remember that? Told Timothy what to do for his stomach's sake. Why would you recommend medicine if you just had the gift of healing? The point is here, folks, sometimes sickness can be preventative. Here's another thing about sickness being preventative. God knows that if some people had a body free of pain and suffering, they might get into some real trouble. Sometimes it's a very kind thing for God to give you a body that doesn't go too fast. You folks understand what I'm saying? If you had a body that could just do everything you wanted to do, maybe some Christian would do something they shouldn't be doing. So their health keeps them confined. Maybe that's a good thing for some of them. You're looking suspicious. You can always tell when you hit the sore spot. People look. So it can be preventative. Now, I'm going to come to the conclusion here, and I'm going to give you some more tonight, but I want you to look at something else about sickness and turn to 2 Corinthians, if you will, again. Let me give you just a hint of what I'm going to look at tonight, and I think I failed to make a mention of this as I should, as my time as pastor here. We don't make enough use of the power there is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get the idea, for whatever reason, that we need the blood of Christ at the moment of salvation to cleanse us from our sin, and that's true, we do. But do you folks know that there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ, not just for a moment in your past when you trust Him as Savior, but there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ for every moment lived of your life? Because 1 John chapter 1 makes the statement, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not cleansed us in the past, but present tense. Cleanseth us. Let me say that by His stripes we are healed. I recognize that healing in a part has to do with the healing of the sin nature. Healing. I understand that. But I also believe that there is great power in the blood of Christ for all types of healing, if it be God's will to do it. I'm going to talk more about that this evening, Lord willing. But here's the final reason for suffering I want to give you here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Sickness can come to give some of us a greater sense of empathy. You folks know the difference between sympathy and empathy? Sympathy says, I feel bad for what you're going through. Empathy says, I know what you're going through. Empathy is deeper. Empathy is saying, my heart breaks for you because I know what you're going through. Sympathy says, I can't say that I've been there, but I do care about what you're going through, but I can't say I've been there. Empathy says, I've been there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 2. Here's another reason that sickness comes to some of God's children. He wants them to have more empathy. Tells us in verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see what Paul's saying here? He said, God has given me this tribulation and God has given me comfort in the midst of tribulation so that I can give that same comfort to someone who's going through that same tribulation. I'll just use an illustration here, and I've told you before, but for a church our size, we have an unusually high number of widows here. The church of our size. Of course, I'm not a widower. I don't know what this means, but I would imagine you widows that are here, I'd imagine it's been a great source of comfort to you to draw strength from other widows. And that's something that those of you ladies who have your husband still with you, as much as you care for these ladies who have lost theirs, as much as you love them, you cannot say that you exactly know what they're going through. But the other widows in the church, they know what you're going through. You see how empathy is different than sympathy. Paul says here, I'm comforted in my tribulation so that when I meet another brother or sister who's going through the same trouble, I can take what Christ has done for me and I can give it to them. Sometimes Christians are just so hardened and we don't think about anybody but ourselves. God lets us have a little trouble sometimes to remind us that there's other ships out there on the sea. There's folks we can comfort. Now that's a partial list. That's five Bible reasons for sickness. I haven't come to the end of it. But we live in a fallen world, sin-cursed world. Some sickness is self-inflicted. Satan can inflict physical suffering. Sickness can be preventative in some cases, and sickness can give you a greater sense of empathy. There's a few more Bible reasons for sickness we'll look at tonight. But if you know you can't make it back tonight, or you've just decided that you won't make it back tonight, in a nutshell, let me say this. If you're going through a sickness or trouble, the best advice I can give you is this. Get somewhere where you can get alone with God in prayer. And spend as much time there as you have to until God shows you the reasons for your sickness, or for your suffering. He'll make it known to you if you want to know it. God's not playing a game of cat and mouse with us. Do you understand that, folks? God's not sitting in heaven laughing at His children as they grope around in sickness and heartache. He's not doing that. If you'll get along with the Lord and seek His face and earnestly say, Lord, I want to know what this is. Is this for chastisement, Lord? Am I doing something in my life that's not right with you? Illustration. I'll be brief here. An illustration. This just happened 2 days ago. I got a message from someone I dearly love, and our church dearly loves this person. And they said to me, I'm having all kinds of trouble physically, and I know it's God getting my attention. She was just as certain of that as she was of her own name. She said, I know God's getting my attention through this. That may not be the case with every sickness, but in her case, she believes it was. And you know what else I think? I think very shortly, we're going to see that person make a complete U-turn and really do something for God. I believe it with all my heart. So why don't you get along with God sometime, soon? Say, Lord, I've been going through this. Show me what your purpose is in allowing this. Maybe you already know it. Maybe it's just a test of your faith. I don't know. But I'd say get along with God and then make use of the power there is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Limitless power. Didn't we sing about this morning? There is power in the blood of the Lamb. Let's pray together. Lord, and I pray you'd take what's been said, and I pray, Lord, you'd empower my words with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we got Christians here that love you and are suffering, are going through sickness, have been for some time. We got folks that are in sick beds now. We got some, Lord, that are very discouraged about their own situation and looking for answers. I pray that you'd give a measure of comfort. And then, Lord, stir them up that they may seek your face in understanding why this is coming upon them. And show them, Lord, give them the answer. We pray now the blood of Jesus Christ would be called upon in faith and increase our understanding of what it means to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the power of the blood of Christ. And Lord, instead of asking you to take away all of our sicknesses, we ask you to give us understanding of why they're there, and then what should we do next. We pray this in Jesus' name. Now, while you're still praying there, I want to just encourage you and maybe warn you. It'd be far better for you to live your entire life from the cradle to the grave in a sick bed of suffering and have your soul saved and be with the Lord when you die. Be far better than having a perfect health for your body, giving no thought for the Lord, and dying and burning forever. Have you taken care of this matter of salvation? Have you taken care of this business of where you're going to spend eternity? If you haven't, your physical health is the least of your worries. If you haven't been born again, if you have been saved and you want to pray for someone who's going through this affliction,